Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right. Nancy Sinatra, these boots were made for walking, and that's just what she's going to do. Hey, everybody. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective. On the Patriot, I almost said something else, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com. We do it live periodically throughout the month, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Mojo50.com. I am really excited tonight. Our friend, Gary Binford, host of United Patriots Uprising, is joining us for a long overdue visit. As I've said in the teaser, it's going to be a great time talking with my friend about the interesting times that we live in. He is the host, as you all well know, of United Patriots Uprising. He's on all the platforms. He's everywhere on the planet. He is nationwide. He recently, just a couple days ago, did a TV show with Dr. Alan Keyes. He was on Dr. Alan Keyes' program. They really hit it off. He's going to be a return guest. And as a matter of fact, right now, as we're talking, and I've got him up. It was not easy. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. The guy's in such demand. I didn't even get to talk to him. I had to talk to his people. That's how busy he is, for real. And I like to never got him pinned down for this. But as it is right now, he is in a limo with Dr. Alan Keyes, and they're heading over to the Samuel Z. Arkoff Studios. They have signed a two-picture deal to do a couple of remakes of Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby's movies, Uptown Saturday Night, and Let's Do It Again. Our friend, without any further ado, Gary Benford. Welcome, Gary. It's good to have you here with us. Way overdue,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for the show. Can you hear me, James?
Not that well, no.
No, not that well. Okay, let's try this.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, man, can I hear you now? Yeah, that's perfect. Whatever you
okay,
want.
Okay, we're gonna do the phone because, as you know, it is kind of difficult when you're riding around in a limo. So,
it's tough to set a microphone up.
Yeah, people, let's set the record straight. The demand that James is talking about, the demand for me and the people that he has to talk to, the only two people I have are my two stuffed animals who are sitting here watching this, Snuggle D. Bear and Petula. That's my staff. And the demand that I'm in is from James Bostic. Now, I got to be honest. It has been quite a few people. I was on Dr. Keyes' show Monday. That was a blessing. And I'll be back on April 9th, and I'll also be on Dr. John Diamond's show, American Uprising. There's a couple things on the that way, but basically what I do is my show, and that's United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford. It's a podcast. And it started out as a live show, and I have to give, if you have a problem, James Bostic is directly responsible for this. He created this monster because we were at Rock the Red. He looked over to me and said, Gary, you should have your own show, to which I laughed in his face because I had no interest in having my own show. I had a 15-minute spot on Rocky and the Wolfman, and I have no clue what vision James saw, but 5-6 months later, I had my own show. It was live, and James became my longtime producer, and I thank him for that because I didn't know the radio business. I learned a lot from you. So I really thank you because I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for you because you saw a vision that I could have never imagined because I'd done radio, but it had been, you know, with sports and in music. And I never thought about ever hosting my own show. It wasn't even on the radar, so I have no idea what you saw, but thank you.
Well, Gary, we had talked about this before, and I don't mind telling you. You definitely had the chops. Your background in the entertainment business, managing musical talent, your experience as a sports writer, as a journalist, as someone who interviews people, you know, you can ask the prescient questions. You can be right to the point. You can get to and you're very articulate, and at the same time, you're not a particularly complex person in the way that you speak. So you broadcast out, and I mean that literally. It's a broadcast that you have that a lot of people can say, "Yeah, man, I like that guy. I like what he says." And it was just something. It was just something. I'm not exactly sure. I guess just from talking with you, Gary, you know, because you would come on my show and we would talk, and you were doing the thing with Rocky and the Goth. And it was just something intuitively, I just saw it. It was intuitive in me after talking with you that I said, yeah, you know, I just checked off all the boxes. And I'm tickled to death. I can't tell you how proud I am of what you're doing and how successful you've been. It's just so good to know. In a lot of ways, it's encouraging. Anybody can do this. If you've got something to say, and you're conscientious about it, and you're honest about it, and you do good work, you're going to get noticed. And that's exactly what happened to you. And like I said, again, I can't be happier for you. How many platforms are you on right now?
Well, I'm under contract distribution distributed by RadioInfluence.com.
Right.
And they market, promote, they put sound bites all over the place, and they it's on Stitcher, it's on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And the thing they told me, when they signed me up, they told me be patient because I didn't understand a lot about the business. You know, I had done the live show with you on Blog Talk Radio, and I thank Mark Hoffman for that opportunity. But I didn't understand how hard it is to try and do a podcast a conservative podcast in this environment. I had no idea. They told me there are 3 million people of all varieties have podcasts. And the Alex Joneses and the people
right.
who are going to write, they say everybody and their grandmother has a podcast. And they're saying to get numbers, people have to find you, and it takes time. And they've been very patient with me. I keep saying, well, is this moving as fast as it should? And they say, you're doing fine. And I'm looking, you know, and I'm saying, well, you know, because I'm looking at other people, but they said, Gary, you've just started. You've done 16 podcasts. You know, and I'm not a big social media person, as you know, James. I was only on Facebook, so I had to get on Getter. I had to get on Twitter and CloudHub and all these things. And I got thrown off of Gab. They said my show goes against their community standards, probably because Jesus is welcome on my show and so is conservatism. So it's been, you know, it's been a learning experience for me. I have great guests, and the guests, you know, I used to do 3, 4, 5 guests a show. Now it's just one person on per podcast. And what that helps where that one person now, they can put it on their website, they can put it on their Facebook page.
Right.
They all, you know, and if it's 4 or 5 guests, it makes it a little bit dicey. So each person has been, the guests have been great. You know, putting it on their Twitter and retweeting and this, that, and the other thing. So it's making its way. But I know you talk about me, but people, what it is, as I tell James, I'm just an ordinary guy that is blessed to have the ability to get a lot of big name people to come on, and that's what perpetuates and propels the show. The show, and I told you when you said I should have my own show, I said the only way I'd do this is if I could get people who have recognizable names that the listeners would want to listen to, because my credibility, whether you think I have credibility and whether I think I have credibility, is not the issue. The issue is when you can bring on, you know, like General Michael Flynn and Mike Lindell and Bridget Gabriel and Steve Turley and, you know, the list, Carol Swain, just recently right now, the current guest is Jamie Glazoff, Alex Newman was on, David Horowitz is coming up, Jesse Lee Peterson, Vince Ellison is next. You know, when you can bring on people that they're looking at Vince Ellison 2 days ago on Laura Ingraham, it doesn't give me credibility, it gives him credibility. So all I have to do, as you say, is ask the right questions.
And that's key. I have found, too, you know, a lot of these folks, our friend Michael Cutler is a good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 12 minutes, and that's about what you – that's the average. Whenever he goes on, he's on David Webb frequently. As a matter of fact, last week, Mike was on with Dave Webb. And ordinarily, whether it's TV or radio, you know, if you get an entire segment, which is a big deal, that's still only about 12 and a half minutes. And with a program, you know, with a program like yours, when you go with a long-form type interview where these guys – you're taking them out of the barn. You're taking the saddle off of them. There's a big wide open field there, and you're smacking them on the butt, and they can run, and they can, you know, and they can really fully bring the essence of what they're talking about to life in that larger time frame. So yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
See, I think that works for you too. See, the advantage that both of us have, you still live, but me with a podcast, is we let the guests talk. And we have
yes.
questions we want to ask, but we allow them, and you're great at this too, to take it where they want to go, because they have some things that we don't even know that would be such pertinent information that they want to bring out, and you just go with the flow. And my show as a podcast, it's not timed. I just ask everybody for a minimum of 40 minutes, and I said, if you're rocking, we'll go as long as you want. And most people have gone an hour. The longest was – it was funny. And, you know, you were on my very first at several shows that Morgan Brittany had been on when we were live.
Right.
People, Morgan Brittany is the actress. You know, she's the co-owner of the conservative website Political Chicks with Anne-Marie Morrell. But – She's most known as an actress, and she was a child actress. And then, you know, she was on Dallas, and she played Catherine Wentworth and tried to kill Bobby Ewing three times, for which women still hate her to this day. But, you know, she was supposed to do 40 minutes the last time, and she stayed on for an hour and a half because we started talking about her time, you know, with Lucy and Henry Fonda and Alfred Hitchcock, who scared her to death, and Rod Serling and Ron Howard and everything. And then by the time we got into the politics and what's going on with China and what Hollywood was like and how the communists snuck in and everything, the time, you know, we get off and she goes, geez, this is 90 minutes, you know, and we were just talking. So this is the thing that you have and that I have the advantage when they go on to other shows, you know, it's tight and it's right, but it's short, and we just let them go. Especially my
and I
cutler.
Think, yeah,
especially
it's
my
like
cutler.
Going to the gym.
Just wind them up.
Yeah.
Wind them up and let them go.
And you know what? The thing about that is, and I'll tell you this, and I've probably said it before, I have unlimited confidence in Mike, having known him as long as I have. You know, we're on the phone with each other two or three times a month easily, and those conversations are very, very similar to what goes on the air. And I every time he's been on, I don't care where he starts or where he goes, he always brings you back around and ties it all up. He is one of the most uncanny fellows at that I think I've ever seen. So I really, you know, so you're right. With a guy like Mike, it's, well, Mike, what do you know? And then you can sit back.
Yeah, I start emailing you. You know, we start talking on the – we start emailing back and forth on Facebook Messenger. Say, boy, Mike is on a roll, isn't he? You know?
And
David Horowitz is the same way. That he'll David Horowitz will get on a roll. But I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
I have to ask you a question because
all right.
This is something that's going on with me now, and I'm wondering if it's going on with you. You get great guests. I get great guests. And they know – what America needs to know. The problem is what they're telling people, a lot of people have never heard. They're not going to hear it from the disingenuous mainstream media. So they really don't know about the vaccine, that it's not safe. They really don't know about, you know, how the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the FBI. Or they don't know how, you know, how the communist movement and everything and Black Lives Matter, where it originates. They don't know so much about what's going on. And we bring these great guests on, but they scare people in that, in telling them the truth. It's so depressing to see the state of our nation that, you know, and like Trevor Loudon, we both have, Trevor is so great. He tells people. And then I say, okay, Trevor, you just spent an hour. Now everybody's on the bridge. Okay, get them off. Show them some hope. The problem is our guests – do you find this? Our guests are so great, but the stuff is so negative from the standpoint of trying to wake America up. How do you balance that?
Well, you know, it's tough. It really is. And, it's a lot – lightning in a bottle. I mean, when you hit it, you hit it. It is a very discouraging – I mean, there are a lot of discouraging things happening in the world and here at home, you know, that affect us as Americans and affect us deeply in certain areas. And you're right. These guys come on. Trevor, nobody, I guarantee you, knows the extent and how deeply rooted communist infiltration is in the United States federal government. Nobody knows immigration issues better than Michael Cutler. I'm convinced of that because, and I'm sure you probably are too, because we've talked to these guys enough to know it. I mean, they can pull it out. And it is a terrible and fearsome weapon that they give us, guys like Trevor or Claire Lopez. And Michael Cutler and these terrific people that we talked to, and John Guandola, because everything you talked about right there in leading up to this question, when you would say to John Guandola, Trevor Loudon, you know,
right.
We know.
We're talking about
absolutely.
Radical Islam. Tom Holman came on talking about Homeland Security and what's really going on at the border. And then I had his successor, Ron Vitello, came on. and you hear these things, and you find out you're hearing what's going on at the border, and you know nobody's doing anything about it. The media is covering it up. And I know what I do. I try and make sure at the end they give hope. And everybody will come on, and Claire will come on, and Trevor, and they'll say, and they'll always say, you know, we're going around the country, we're speaking around the country, and people are starting to wake up. But it had to get this bad for people to start to wake up. And that's the same thing that General Flynn, John DeLimmy, and Mike Lindell said. Yeah, it's rough. It's tough. We're down in a rabbit hole. But as they continue to travel around the country preaching about the greatness of America and how we have to save this country to retain our freedom and liberty, they're getting great responses, and they're saying they're seeing a lot of Democrats that are starting to see the light and are going to change their vote. So I try and make sure I end it, you know, by giving people hope and letting them know that all is not lost. But we got to wake them up, James, and that's why I love your show, because you, when you talk, and you do a lot more talking than I do, which is great, you give them your opinion. I let other people, you know, who are out there on the battlefield give their opinion. But regardless of which way it goes, we had to be awakened out of our slumber.
Yes.
Because people just have no idea where we are in this nation and how close we are to losing it.
Well, and that's the thing. These guys, like I was saying earlier, with Trevor and Claire and John Guandolo and all these people that we talk with, the information that they disseminate to us, the information that they pass along to us is, like I said, that this terrible, fearsome weapon. And I think a lot of people, they hear it, and sometimes I got to hear it a couple of times because some of the enormity of some of these ideas, you know, that they talk about, it's so huge. It takes a little while to digest for these folks that haven't heard. I mean, you and I, and Don Newman and Donna Fiducia and all the people that do this sort of thing, we've been immersed in it. We've been baptized. It flows through us, and we understand. But a lot of folks, as you say, are waking up, and this knowledge is that weapon that's gonna forge them. It's, you know, this is going to turn them. But here's the thing, though, that I want to touch on. Everybody screams 2024 is coming, 2022 is coming, the midterms are coming. Watch out, going to be a tsunami, going to be a tidal wave. As it is right now, I think at least 30 Senate and congressional Democrats have said, this is kind of probably a good time for me to be with the family. I need to be at the lake with the family a little bit more than I need to be, you know, getting swept out to sea in Washington. But if we put in Republicans who aren't going to be fundamentally any different in how they vote and the issues that they support, what have we really done? And, you know, there's a lot of rhinos up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Mitch McConnells. There's a lot of Paul Ryans, a lot of them.
What we really have done will be is to give the country to the Democrats, because see what you'll find out, and then I'll go back and let you finish. What you find out is that when you don't have people that have a spine, when you don't have people that have a backbone, when you don't have people that are basically MAGA people or constitutionalists, people who want to uphold the Constitution and want this country to remain the way it is, not going global, but American exceptionalism, right, America first. And when you don't have people that are for that, what they're going to end up doing, if you put those Republicans or rhinos in, you're going to see what happened in Georgia, where you have a Republican governor in Kemp, and they steal elections, and they just won't desert. They certify and let it go, and you've seen it in many other states. So they will steal the election, and our elected officials who could put their foot down, like Mike Pence should have, and could put their foot down, like people in Georgia should have, and even some of the elected officials that knew their elections were stolen, like David Perdue in Georgia. It didn't say damn word, you know, and just let it go. And I'm telling you, if these type of things happen, this is how you end up with Democrats as governors and senators and congresspeople. And you know they're going to try and steal it. And, James, you know, regardless of how the landscape looks, you know they have all kind of deviousness in their playbook. And a scandal or two is coming around, or the next scare tactic to try and change the landscape before the midterms. You know it's coming.
Sure it is. And part of it is going to be this thing with Ukraine. Mitch, if there's anybody that has made more money, made more money from
Turtle.
China, yeah, than from China, than Joe Biden, it's got to be Mitch McConnell. But people hold him up as this, you know, conservative lion heart.
Still?
Doing the best. Yeah. There are a lot of people.
After what he did to Trump.
The establishment guys are going to flock together. You and I know better, of course. But the rhinos and these establishment people that look so solidly conservative, they're going to uphold the guy. All of them are going to uphold each other because there are trillions at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that literally trillions at stake. And those guys in Washington, you better bet if it's going to go down, it's not going to go down unless they get their cut. And that includes the big guy. That includes Joey the Biden.
We got to get him out of there, people. You got to vote him out. Got to vote him out. And see, and the thing is, we've got to get people to see the thing about elections and Dominion machines or ballot harvesting or whatever the Democrats will do to try and steal the elections. Constitutionally, depending on your state, the only way, and a guest I had on, Candace Taylor, who's running for governor in Georgia with basically no experience but knows what she's doing and is going to develop a huge, in my opinion, groundswell. If you haven't heard the name, just keep an eye as they get closer to voting for the Republican primary of who's going to get this. But one of the things she understands, you've got to have the mechanism in place before the election to stop them from stealing the election. You can't cry foul
after
the vote.
So yeah.
Too late. You got to have everything in place before the election and say, we dare you. See, and that's what we have to do in a lot of states. But, you know, we're starting to get some people. We're starting to get the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Kristi Noems and the Wendy Rogers, people who are standing up and yelling and screaming, the Laura Boebert. You know, everybody's saying, oh, these big mouth women. God bless them, because Donald Trump took that megaphone and changed America. And people, the reason on election night they had to shut down because they thought Trump was only going to get about 60 million votes, and they thought they could steal it, you know, with all their stuff. They had no clue that he was going to get close to 80 million. And that's pretty much, if we really got the real count, what it was. And they were like, oh, we don't have enough phony ballots here, so we got to do something here, you know. But, you know, Donald Trump mobilized a section of this country that was for America, that was for capitalism, and that was for free enterprise. And we saw the success in America. Black unemployment went down, more blacks were hired, people, the price of gas went down, he took on...
To historic lows, black
right,
unemployment
you,
in
right.
general, but
yes.
black
the
unemployment
was,
historic
the Taliban,
lows.
Right, the Taliban was gone, MS-13 was gone. You know, when people saw what this man did, they got behind him. So the ones that you hear that are Republican right now that are shouting the loudest, you know, these are warriors because, as James just said, the McConnells and the Goober Graham, these people are hiding under a rock. don't want any part of it. They have no stones for this battle. And that's what John Guandola was concerned about. You were producing my show when John came on a year and a half ago and said his fear was, and I won't use the word, you know, because he may have used another word, but let's just use this one, that he, a former FBI agent and a Marine, said his fear is, when the truth comes out and when we find out who are the traitors to America, that we won't have the stones to take out the trash. In other words, once it's proven that there have been people who really deserve to be lined up against the wall or shot or deported, and they could be your favorite Hollywood star or your favorite politician or your favorite athlete or whoever they may happen to be, are we going to be willing, ready, willing, and able to try these people for war crimes and see
and do the right thing.
A year and a half ago we had the stones. I hope we do now.
Well, I think so. I think that and the one thing I pitch, I get, you know, the my tagline is you know, it has become more and more important for us as a nation to be an informed and disseminating electorate.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look closely, and we have to look closely constantly. And if they're not doing what we set them in to do, if they're not achieving the objectives that we sent them to Washington to achieve, then we've got to recalculate. We've got to remove them, and we've got to put somebody else in. I always talk about term limits, and I see the solidity behind them. And overall, I'm inclined to agree with them. But at the same time, I tell myself, you voted them in, vote them out.
Mm-hmm.
And James,
that's hard to do. I've learned a lot. Haven't you learned a lot by talking to guests, because you learn things? For instance, the filing fee in a state, like if you run it as a Republican, could be $5,000 to $10,000 to run, you know, for governor or for a position, whereas a Democrat is a couple hundred dollars. So, you know, there's all kind of things. And we got to remember the Republican establishment, they have that mechanism within a state. And it's so hard if you're an independent or somebody that they say hasn't either A, paid your dues, or B, gotten in line with the program to buck the system, because you need to be almost independently wealthy like Donald Trump. You see, one of the advantages of Donald is, you know, how to use his own money. So he wasn't beholden to anybody. The problem is, once you start taking donations from donors and, you know, major donors and PACs and stuff like that, you know, when you're dancing the music, eventually the bill's going to come and they're going to say, now it's time to pay to the piper. See, so they have this system, this good old boy, good old girl, you know, this. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about an establishment system that's really against what we would look at as conservative, because they're willing to play the game. They, if a Democrat's in office, they yell and scream, say, send us money so we can get out. And the Democrats kick the can down the road. Then they win, get in office, kick the can down the road, and the Democrats yell and scream so they can, you know, get raise money. And it's like a Ponzi scheme game, and nobody does anything. And now the can's been kicked down the road so far that it's at a cliff, and our freedom and liberty is getting ready to go over it if we don't do something to take it back.
And I think you're right. I agree with that. And here we are. We've put them back out on the ledge again.
Yeah, but it's hard to see, because people are, the Biden administration is so bad.
Oh, my God.
You know, people have to see. You see, and now at least you have a contrast, because for whatever everybody said Trump was or is, at least now you can contrast it to what Biden is, and unless you're a radical, you know, that wants to overthrow America and get rid of the Constitution and usher in socialism, you should be able to see the stark difference of what's going on now. And we're beholden to other countries now. See, just look at the oil alone. James, and I know you've talked about this, just look at the oil alone. Donald Trump wanted us to be oil independent. We're actually now getting oil from people that take the money to try and blow us off the face of the earth, that they use the money to get give ammunition and sell ammunition to countries who hate us. Does that make sense to you, America? But that's what the Democrats are doing.
They're doing us a favor. They're trying to sell it like they're really doing something good for us. We're finding a solution. We're sitting on a solution.
Can you believe they had the audacity to say about the price of gas that Americans have gotten too comfortable with cheap gas? I mean, I can't believe some of the things that they say in America Buys. But
that goes back to Jimmy Carter talking about wearing sweaters in the wintertime instead of turning up the thermostat. Mm, they've always been like that. And
well,
to
I hope
me,
people are changing.
Those prices, you know, that $1.85, $2.25 a gallon gas, to me, is an earmark of prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's an earmark of plentiful. You know, it's a time of plenty. We've got, and again, we're sitting on an ocean of natural gas and oil. And these people who think that tomorrow, you know, that our energy economy, our markets, you know, should be fueled by wind and solar and pixie dust. And that's great. Show me the pixie dust fueled 18 wheeler. Show me the solar powered 18 wheeler. And I'm on board. When it runs as well as a diesel fuel powered vehicle, yeah, it's time to go. But we're nowhere near it, and we never will be. And these fossil fuels, oil is the fuel that runs the economic engine of this nation. We cannot function without it. That's all there is to
hey,
it.
James.
And we have our own.
James,
yes.
Remember, they want to get rid of the 18-wheeler. All they want out there is a little Obama cars that look like a French taxi. Okay, they don't want 18-wheelers.
Something the Barnum and Bailey have in
the even looks like strength. You know,
no.
You know, I can't believe how many useful idiots there are out there, and you know, there aren't that many radicals. We want to act like there's all, even Stalin, Lenin, Mao. They didn't have really that big a number behind them. What they did was use the people that just either hated God or hated conservatism for whatever reason, and they just get everybody on the to align with them. And say the useful idiots, we'll get rid of your enemies, okay? You want to kill your babies, we'll get rid of the people that don't want you to do that. You want to marry who you want if you're a man, a woman, an animal. You want to be one sex today, one sex tomorrow. The people who are against that, we'll help you fight them.
Yeah,
you know, and they just go, you go all the way down the list, and they get a big tent of everybody that's against everything that's godly, moral, and constitutional. And that's why you end up with Muslims and Jews in the same tent looking at each other saying, why are we on the same side? But you are, because what you're doing, you're actually trying to take America down. So they get all these useful idiots together, and then when they realize it's not about the issues like they told you, it's about the revolution, by the time you realize it, it's too late. So that's why we have to put our foot down. We have to stop it right here, right now, while we still have time to do so. And that's why it's great what you do, my friend, because, you know, they shadow ban us and they give us a hard time and, you know, they take your post down. And, my show with Alan Keyes, I was on his show. I tried to post it on Facebook and they said the Alan Keyes show goes against, it's called Let's Talk America, goes against our community standards. So I couldn't put the link up. I could only put the, you know, where they can find the show. So they keep fighting us. But here's the good news, James, and why you should never stop and keep doing what you're doing. Because eventually, when the dam breaks, just like we've been yelling and screaming about this vaccine, eventually when people finally find out, then they're going to want to know, where can I get the news about what's really going on in America? And we already have it archived for them. So eventually they're going to circle back to this stuff.
I agree. It's every, and I've talked about this before too, everything that happens, you mentioned the vaccines, you touched on that. There was a headline on Breitbart right before we went on the air, you and I. The New York Times admits that everything they said about the Hunter Biden laptops being phony, baloney, misinformation, Russian hoi polloi, was a lie, was all a lie. Everything that we look at and have looked at, let's just say for the last 12 years, everything that we've looked at in terms of political scandals, in terms of Fast and Furious, in terms of what the Black Lives Matter was up to, what Occupy Wall Street was up to, what Antifa has been doing, any of these things. And it always comes out exactly the opposite of what the news media and the individuals and the government officials involved tell us. It has never worked out any differently. Everything that we inferred by looking at the evidence, actual and circumstantial, about Hillary Clinton came out to be true. Everything about the Clinton Global Initiative, Pete Schweitzer told us, came out to be true. Everything about Hunter Biden's laptop is going to come out to be true. It's true. It's all there. And these people spend years covering it up in the immediate term, because I think in the long term, they're banking that it's going to be forgotten about. And that's what must not ever happen. And people like you, people like Breitbart, when we say, hey, you remember when we were talking about this 2 years ago with Claire Lopez, and she was talking about what was going on in Wuhan? boom, there you are. She wasn't kidding. She knew what she was talking about. When Trevor Loudon told you about Pete Buttigieg's father being the foremost authority on Gramscian communism and how best to implement it in Western nations, he wasn't kidding either. By God, that's exactly what happened. That's the truth. But have you heard anybody say that about Pete Buttigieg's dad? Does anybody even mention that Pete Buttigieg has a dad?
No, and see, this is where John Guandolo, and I, John may be at Rock the Red in May, I'm not sure yet, but the thing is, this is what he was talking about. Okay, now the Times admitted, okay, we were wrong about everything. John's question is, okay, what are you going to do about it, America? They lied about it. Okay, remember, James, we were going crazy back when the Trump White House was leaking, and we're like,
right.
Well, they're trying to, is it this person? Is it that person? And everybody was swearing it wasn't them. He couldn't get off the phone before the Times had it. And we're trying to figure out, and, you know, people are saying, is it Kellyanne Conway? Is it this person? Is it that person? And blah, blah, blah. Is it Bannon? Is it who? What is going on? Even Trump is like, who the heck is leaking? Yeah. Well, it turns out it was tapped by the Clinton people. So, okay, now we find this out. What are we going to do about it? This is John's point. When you find out all these things, when you find out about Hunter's laptop, when you find out about the Ukraine, when you find about pay-to-play with Biden, when you find out about the virus and the vaccine was done for political purposes to shut our economy down, to get Trump out of office, what are we going to do about it? And that's the key. We're getting close to that to find out. And the key is I hope America is so fed up now, we are ready to throw these people the heck out of here.
Well, yeah, and it's going to have to be something far more stringent than simply a conviction in the court of public opinion. It's going to have to be something more than, you know, it's easy for us, you know, for we as citizens, as Americans, to look at these people in the public forum and simply turn our backs to them. But that is not enough.
Nope.
You're right, and Guandolo is right as well. Do we have what it takes? Because you know what sentence these people have earned by the crimes they have committed. We all did. And as you just said that Guandolo was talking about it on your show, there's a lot more of them out there that we're going to find out about.
Yeah, and they're going to reach deep.
Yeah,
I have an answer for you. I have an answer for you. This is way, way beyond us because they're picking on God now because they've gotten God out of the workplace, they've got him out of the schools, and they've got him out of the government. Damn near got him out of family. So they're picking on God now. They're going after his country. They're going after his constitution. They're going after him. So he will help us fight this battle. He will drop a hammer. You know, I've been saying this for 2 years, but here's the key. He's only going to drop it if we are able to finish the job. I will give you some, we'll go Bible and give you some examples of this. Everybody knows about David and Goliath. But the big thing about David and Goliath was not that David killed Goliath. The big thing was after David killed Goliath, the Hebrews went and chased all the Philistines into the woods and into the mountains and killed them all. Otherwise, they would come back with a vengeance. When the walls of Jericho fell, Joshua and Caleb were instructed to go into Jericho when God pulled that big wall down, kill the men, the women, the children, the animals, get rid of all of them. They're evil. If you don't do that, they're going to come back. He got rid of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Otherwise, eventually, Pharaoh needed somebody to build his pyramids. They would have gone around the Red Sea, went into Canaan, and brought the Hebrews back as slaves. When we have enough people to take out the trash, he will drop the hammer, and he doesn't need many, James. He just needs faithful. Gideon, he had 30,000. God said, you got too many. Go down to 300. 300 against 30,000. What are the odds of that? Well, they won and didn't have to even kill one person. You see, God is raising an army. He's raising an army of warriors. This is what Dilemi always talks about. He's dead right. He's raising an army of warriors. It doesn't need to be a lot of people. It just needs to be a faithful people because a bunch of faithful people and God create a majority. And it's going to get done. My only question is when, because I don't know when God says, okay, I got enough people to take the trash out, because that's what it's going to require, because proving what they did is meaningless if we can't get them out of there, because they control the media, they control the schools, they control the unions, you know, they control the government, they control every entity, they control the churches now. You know, Trevor's new movie and Nick Searcy's movie talking about how the evangelical church has been taken over by Marxists, okay? So not all of them, but the whole system now is corrupt. And we can get it back, but there's going to be some pain involved. So,
it is. And people, I think, When they look at it honestly, just as you have, and you've assessed this thing pretty clearly, yeah, there is going to be some pain involved. They kind of quail at that. But what they need to do is they need to stop and think, look how much pain we've gone through right to this point. Look at all the pain that we went through during the Obama years. Look at all the needless pain that we went through when Donald Trump, you know, and we tried to make a course correction. And again, that pain was multiplied as soon as they got Trump out of there, and they put this easily blackmailed criminal family in the White House. He's beholden to every bad actor out there through the dirty deals that his son did and that the old man got a piece of the hell. He has enriched himself off the taxpayer dime and corruption for a half a century.
Yeah.
He's enriched himself and his mm-hmm. family. So look at the pain he's put us through already.
Yeah. You know, let me just drop this on our audience, James, and I don't know if you've talked about this because I was starting to hear this. And it just show you how they can brainwash good people. There are guests that have come on. Jamie Glazoff from the Glazoff Gang was the last, and frontpagemagazine.com was the last one to talk about this. But if you are a conservative or a Trump follower, because I'm trying to figure out why, if all the mass mandates are over, with the exception of my stupid state in New York and, you know, in Toronto and parts of California, if the mask mandates are over, why are people in droves wearing masks? And I'm starting to hear from guests that if you're a Trump person and you're living in a liberal area, you're afraid to take the mask off because if you take the mask off, they'll know you're a conservative. Had you thought about that?
Well,
people may be wearing masks to hide their political persuasion because this mask has become a line of demarcation between us and them. Now think about that one.
It's also become a pretty solid object, a symbol of oppression and authoritarianism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Again, we have a chance to do some real good coming in the midterm elections. And I don't really want to get all political or rather all inside baseball in terms of the intrigues, the machinations that are going to take place. But we have an opportunity. We really do, a golden opportunity. Again, at the last count, it was 31, maybe 32 Democrat congressmen and senators. They're not coming back. And there's a reason they're not coming back, okay? They don't want to be here when the hammer falls. And Gary, I think you're right. I don't know when, but I believe that it will. And when it does, it's going to hit heavy. It's going to hit hard. But even with that, this is when we've got to start paying attention. And we got to start paying attention to our boards of education. We've got to start paying attention to our county commissions, our city councils. Who are the people that we're sending to our state houses of legislatures, and
very
from there
important.
on to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And it never ends. It is a never-ending fight. Goldwater, the price of peace is constant vigilance. I think it was Goldwater that said that, or maybe it was LeMay. It might have been Curtis LeMay, but they're right. And the price that we're going to have to pay for our freedoms, for our liberty, for our peace – As Americans, as conservatives, people who love the country, we're going to have to constantly be vigilant. We're going to have to be constantly vigilant on every single level from the city to Washington, D.C.
I hear you. And by the way, ooh, baby, baby, I second that emotion. Did you hear what Smokey Robinson said?
No.
Smokey Robinson, 82 years old, and I love this.
Smokey.
I don't know where he stands politically. By the way, I did see Smokey and the Miracles when I was in Ohio in college. They put on a very good show. But Smokey said, don't call me African-American. He said, I reject the name African-American because all those soldiers who died to keep us free did not die to keep Africa free. They didn't die for Africa. They died for America, and he is dead right. And, you know, I've always rejected that name. Okay, and the reason I'm bringing this up is saying, why are you bringing Smokey Robinson into this? Well, the point I'm trying to make is they have done, the Marxists, a great job over the past 50 years of stripping us of who we are as Americans, what we were meant to be, free by a constitution from God. Because, see, that the constitution, that people say, well, the constitution, yeah, look, if man gives you your freedom and liberty, man can take it away. As Dr. Alan Keyes said on when we were on the, when I was on the show, that it comes through God that the founding fathers put in there, that freedom comes from God. Inalienable rights, you can't take that away. See, so the right to be an American is very important. And notice, that's why I'm saying, see, they've poisoned the well to some extent, getting blacks to talk about calling themselves not Americans, but Afro-Americans, which cuts it in half and takes away part of your love of this country to fight for everything this country stands for. And it's not just with black, it's with every group. They have found some way to get every people group based on race, gender, and class to find something wrong with America to try and get you to turn on this country and not be willing to fight to keep your freedoms and liberty. And as you just said, James, freedom comes at a price. And there's graveyards filled with people who died in their 20s and 30s that we can be free. And how dare we trample over the lives that they gave and the sacrifice they made for us to still speak English, worship Jesus Christ in spirit and truth, and be able to be free. People, we have to fight for this because if they get their way, it's going to be total misery. You'll have the elites at the top, the socialist communist elites, the elitists at the top, but everybody else will be equally miserable. If you don't believe me, look around the world. Look at Venezuela. Look at Cuba. Go to all your communist countries. You know who they are. Look at what has happened there. It's coming to a neighborhood near you unless we stop this.
We live in an
interesting
time. You
didn't jump off a bridge, did you, big boss man?
No.
I got scared. I was afraid that you make a jump.
No,
but you see, this
jump.
Is the
These
problem. We've got to tell them. It's a scary message, but if we don't tell them, they're not going to realize what we're facing. The media won't tell them. They're on the other side.
Exactly. And they have to know. They have to look this threat. And make no mistake, Gary's not kidding around. It is very much an existential threat from the progressive cultural Marxists. These people, it's authoritarianism as we have always seen it portrayed. Okay, all those stereotypes, jackbooted thugs, people disappearing in the middle of the night, your prosperity taken away from you, your right to property ownership, to individual contracts taken away from you. You can't do any of those things. And we're approaching a point where we're going to have to say this far and no further.
And James, I'll let you handle this one because you have that damn cannon down there. I'm not joking, people. He brought that cannon to the last Rock the Red, and Flynn shot it. Tom Holman shot it. Lynn Wood shot it. I was standing 30 yards away. I'm getting too close to this thing. But anyway, my point is, you got that cannon to protect you. Please tell people why it's so important that as private citizens, we do not let them take our guns. And I don't even have one. But
take
our guns?
If you look at the Constitution, and you look at let's take a look at the Bill of Rights. Okay, let's not go any further than the Bill of Rights. Okay, because within the Bill of Rights, you have contained in concentrated form all the protections that we needed during the time of King George, when we were subjects of the king. All the things that they talked about there in the Bill of Rights were the things that the crown inflicted upon us, and we had no remedies. So after the revolution and the founders meet and they're talking about these things, they're trying to get it together, and they want to make sure that we have true equality under the law, that there are no, you know, that playing field is straight and level. Everything that happened that the king did to us, we looked at, and those things are the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the right and freedom, free speech, the right to assembly. As soon as the crackdowns came, the king's soldiers confined us to houses, and 9 times out of 10, they were living in the houses with us. Part of the Quartering Act. Now, the Second Amendment is mission critical, and it's not about hunting. It's not even about the technological advances of the weapons themselves. It's about the idea that no people, and this was the lesson of the revolution, that no people ever should be at the mercy of a government so tyrannical, so oppressive, so dictatorial that they would be unable to overthrow it by force of arms.
Mm-hmm.
The guns in the hands of folks like myself, like you, the law-abiding gun owners who understand the Second Amendment, who understand proper and responsible gun safety, we're the people that folks like Joe Biden and those of his ilk hate and fear the most.
Yep.
Okay, we are the greatest weapon that could be forged against any government. They know that. And that's why they work so assiduously over such a long period of time to try to dilute, to confuse, to take away from the idea of what the Second Amendment means. The Second Amendment means an armed citizen.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing. You know, every tyrannical country, the first thing they did, well, the first thing they had to do was get rid of God, because people are going to either they're going to look to their sustenance from God, or government's going to be their daddy, not both. So they got to get God out of the picture. Then they need the guns, because when you find out you're about to go into tyranny, you want to get your guns back. You want to fight them. And as I say, they have military-style weapons, and you have peace shooters. So, you know, we need to learn from other countries that, you know, that's the other thing. If you notice, they're kind of trying through Buttigieg and some of these people, Beto O'Rourke and some of these people, they're trying to weasel this in the back door while you're doing the magician thing. You know, looking with the right hand at Ukraine and Russia and some other things, and they're trying to keep two things on the down low, which to me would be what's going on at the southern border and what's going on with them trying to get rid of these guns. But a lot of our red states are really putting in some really good things where they can't take the guns away, states' rights, and it's very important, people. And people, I hope you understand all these things we're telling you. These things are all a part of a big picture that the communists have been working on for 100 years, to, you know, moving the football, you know, a yard a year, trying to, you know, to overthrow this country. And you wake up with the boiling frog, you know, you boil comfortably when they just raise it, a degree every so such and such. And you wake up and you wonder, how did we lose our nation? And this has been going on for a long time. So please, people, wake up. See what's going on while we still have a chance to stop it.
We have been talking with my friend, Mr. Gary Binford. And don't let him fool you. He's a hot property, man. He's taken off, all right?
Oh, come on, James. Why are you saying, James, my guests take off? Look, all I'm trying to do, That's why I try and get name James. The show, as you know, it's a high profile guest driven show.
Absolutely.
I'll take credit for asking the right questions and for doing my homework as a journalist, and I will take credit and it, with the grace of God that I've had a great run of being able to get the people to come on the show, and most of them have been on more than once. Some of them as many as, you know, like Trevor and Claire and Morgan Brittany and these people, Bridget Gailey, people have been on 4 or 5 times, Dr. Steve Turley. Even General Flynn
right.
came on twice, you know. So and they loved it. Worked. Remember, you were there with the first time with Flynn. Remember Flynn? The show
right.
was live. Remember Flynn said he'd do 20 minutes. He stayed for 50. You know, they,
yeah, and
they,
it was
they
terrific
seemed,
too.
Oh, we had a great time. They seemed to love the show. But that's what it's about. My focus. See, he's being modest. You guys need to really give your respect to James Bostic, who I affectionately call the Big Boss Man, because what he does is talk. He does the Walter Cronkite. He does the whoever your favorite commentator.
Anchorman.
He talks, and right, Anchorman. He talks and gives you his opinion. I just bring people on and ask them the questions. Now I'll go back and forth with them, and I know what I know, and we get into it's good. But the show is driven. My show is driven by guests. Your show is driven by your knowledge, so you're the man. You know what I mean? Now refute that.
No, I'm not going to debate your wisdom here on that.
No, because that's what you do. James, I listen to you. I cut you on to find out what's going on because you will talk and you will talk for an hour and a half, and I'm not about to do that. That's not what I do. I bring people on and I let them talk. They're on the front line and let them, like Vince Everett Ellison is going to be my next guest. He just wrote his new book, which is called 25 Lies Exposing Democrats' Most Dangerous, Seductive, Damnable, Destructive Lies and How to Refute Them. He was just on O'Reilly. He was just on with Laura Ingraham, with Dan Ball. He's all over the media right now. He's a black conservative Christian, and, we've had him on the show before, and he raised some hair on some people's head. He did it again. It's already in the can, ready to drop on Tuesday, and this is what I do, to just try and just bring people on that have credibility with people, You know why, James? When I was in high school, and I was a sports writer, and my column was called Benford's Bullpen, like a bullpen base. And people used to call it Benford's Playpen, Benford's Bull Bleep,
you know.
So, and I have this inferiority complex. But I do want to say one thing. I knew I could do this, and you're going to remember this day. People, you know you can do something not when you're successful, but when things go wrong, and how do you handle adversity? And on my maybe fifth or sixth live show, the first guest was a big-name person from California. We won't say his name. And if you remember, he didn't show. And your
right.
James is in the studio. He's trying to call him. We're trying to reach him in California. He never called, and he never did call in. And I was stuck having to kill 25 minutes of live airtime of a two-hour show where I thought I'd have a guest, and I had no guest, and I had to tap dance for 25 minutes. And when I say tap dance, that's a musical term for when things aren't going right. You just go out there and do a shuffle or something, and you're trying to, amuse the people. But I had to talk for 25 minutes when I was completely unprepared. And at the end, you wrote me and say, well, welcome to the business, and it's all good. And that's when I realized, I didn't know if I had the chops, but that's when I realized I had the stones. So, thank you, James.
Oh, there wasn't
recommend.
There wasn't any question about it, man. There really wasn't any question about it. I had known from talking with you and just from hearing what you had done on, that 15-minute spot that you were doing with Rocky and the Gods, I knew. I just knew. Your timing, your chain of thought, and I said, what everyone's, Kevin White is killing it.
Yes.
Hoffman, has been around for like 120 years, and he is just as strong as he ever had, you know, he ever was. He's with his family. He's not going to be on tonight, folks. If you were those of you that might have been hanging out waiting, well, we're into the 8 o'clock hour. He was in Alabama with his family, and they were in an RV, a bus. Mm-hmm. Converted into a camper, and they came down there, and we were talking about it, and he said, I'm not going to be doing the show, and he's telling us why. I said, that's great. Are you guys having fun? And he says, I'm having a rough time. I think I have a bowel blockage, and I'm in tremendous pain.
Ooh.
The oven don't work, and it's freezing.
But oh,
I'm
wow.
loving every minute. I'm loving every minute. I've been under a ton of stress, and me and my son, yeah, we're having a ball. Wife, not so much. And it's raining.
Yeah, I know. Bianca is not digging that, I can tell you. Yeah.
But that's great. Now, like I said, that's one solid family-oriented guy. But that's what Mark's doing tonight. Gary, I want to thank you. I know you've been, just like everybody else comes on, you've been more than gracious and generous with your time. I have looked forward to this for a while, and I'm glad we got to talk. Thank you once again. Tell everybody, before you say goodbye, where they can get up with you, how they can hear you, and, you're probably going to be doing some kind of an autograph thing somewhere. Next time you're appearing for that, let them know that, too.
Yeah, well, thanks, James. And again, thanks for having me on, and thanks for people. We were at Rock the Red in South Carolina a couple years ago. We're sitting at the Saturday Night Gala dinner watching Georgia Congressman Doug Collins speak. And
yeah.
James, Trevor Loudon had been at our table with his two kids, and he'd gotten up and left. And James turns to me and says, Gary, you should have your own show. And I basically laughed in his face. I said, I don't want my own show. I'm happy doing 15 minutes. Let them worry about all the stuff that goes with having your own show. And then 6 months later, I have my own show, and James comes on board and helps me every step of the way. So I truly appreciate that. The show, which started out live, it's now a podcast. It's called United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. It downloads every Tuesday. And you can find it on any of your favorite podcast platforms or at radioinfluence.com. Radioinfluence.com. But it's on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. There's a United Patriots Uprising page on Facebook. It's called United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. And I do have a Facebook page if you want to befriend me. And I do Twitter and Getter and all the social media, with the exception of Gab, that threw me off, which for some reason Gab decided that my show did not meet community standards. So it's a conservative, guest-driven political talk show, and we get good guests, and like James get good guests, and we bring on people that'll give you the truth.
Thanks again, Gary. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. We'll get you back again. James has been on my show, and Mark Hoffman, they gave me my start, and they came on and they did their thing. And one of the things that we all need to do is stick together and support each other, because separately, we're just a little voice crying out in the wilderness, but there are thousands of us out there, with our own following, and it may not be a mighty, mighty army, but when you put us all together, it creates a mighty, mighty wave of truth, and that's what we need, because you're not getting it from the disingenuous mainstream media, nor the schools, nor most public entities today, because the left has pretty much, through cultural Marxism, washed it out.
Call us Legion, for we are many.
There you go.
Thanks, all right, Gary, thanks again.
Thanks very much for having me on, and continue to do your thing. Hopefully I'll see you down in South Carolina in May.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Get me Glazov, man. I really want to talk with him.
Well, you know what? You're going to get Glazov. The interesting thing, I was waiting for this so I could send this to him, So, yeah, I don't see a problem there.
Great. All right. Thanks again. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend, our very good friend, Mr. Gary Binford. Thanks again, Gary. I'll be talking
You're
to
welcome.
You here real
God
soon.
God bless you and the family.
Thank you. God bless you too, my friend.
Okay.
Well, that's great. That's a talented guy. He is very modest about it, and that's just another one of the reasons that he's such a fantastic dude. But he's seriously knocking it out of the park, man. He's good at what he does, And the people that are backing him now, the ones he was telling you about, you know, he's getting these great guests, and they're coming back. Okay. Anybody can get one because they're being gracious or whatever, and maybe they don't want to. But when they come back, you know, you've made them feel comfortable. You know that it's not exactly like making a friend, but in many respects, you develop this very collegial relationship. My friendship with Michael Cutler transcends that. But Claire Lopez would be a good example. Trevor Loudon would be a good example. Don New and Donna Fiducia would be really good examples of these people. And that's one cool thing about this. And I was talking about this with my brother just the other day. I have met so many rock solid, good people. All those names I just gave you, Gary, for example, Hoffman, Mark and I have had a back-to-back show, 8 years, maybe longer. I don't know. It's been a long time. Used to be on Fridays, and you know, then we throttled it back to Tuesdays because of scheduling. So, but anyway, we've been doing it together. Gary and I have known each other for a long time. I've been friends with Michael Cutler and all these people, and they're so knowledgeable, and they're so solid. And to be exposed to that, to me, is just, you know, it's fantastic. It really is. These people are really smart and tops in their field. And they're so cool, you know, because they'll talk with me, they'll talk with Gary. And it's about dissemination. It's about getting the word, okay, the right word out there. And that's what we do. You know, I've always kind of seen myself, whether it's me talking with Michael Cutler or Claire Lopez or Trevor Loudon, whoever it may be, hopefully soon Jamie Glazoff. God, that's great. As a conduit, all right? It's not me, okay, any more than it is Gary, and he's absolutely right in that. It's what we bring. It's what we found. I've told you guys a million times, never take my word for anything that I say. Because I'll bullshit you sometimes just for kicks. No. No, seriously. Never take anything. No, don't take my word for anything. Go out there and look. This is what I have found based upon my research. Based upon, you know, figuring out what's real, what's fake, trying really hard not to give in to confirmational bias, which a lot of people do. And a lot of people on the left are the world's greatest when it comes to confirmational bias. They'll look for those things, only those things, what they believe, and that's what they throw out there. I promise you. Beyond the basic conservative tenets, which we all know and understand, I look to see what is right. What is the truth? What is the information, the accurate, factual, truthful information that the American voter, the American citizen needs in order to be reliably informed? CNN. Good Lord. Oh, man. Hold on a minute. Let me find that. Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, Fredo has turned on the family. All right, $125 million lawsuit against CNN. We don't have enough time to get into it because we do. Stunning accusations came from this lawsuit. He says he's been unfairly fired about a CNN that is so corrupt, so bad, so in bed with disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo that CNN actually asked the governor to schedule news conferences during the COVID epidemic. Remember, he was doing all those pressers. CNN and the governor worked it out to where he would hold those pressers during times in the day when it would be beneficial to CNN's ratings and they would get a boost. Fredo says naturally he was unlawfully fired, says he didn't do anything wrong. The lawsuit says his termination was based, this is cool, that was based on false claims that Cuomo violated CNN standards and practices assisting his brother. That's a key thing there. Assisting his brother, Governor Andrew Cuomo, during a time of personal and political crisis. Now, you remember that Governor Andrew Cuomo was the author of the executive order forcing nursing homes not only to take COVID patients in, but they couldn't even assess them. They couldn't even question whether or not they had COVID. They couldn't even ask them. If they were told they didn't have COVID or they were good to go, that was supposed to be it. It was an executive order signed 8 days from now. Next Friday. Next Friday, March 25th. At a minimum. That murdering son of a Cuomo killed 16,000 nursing home residents. 16,000 moms, 16,000 dads, 16,000 older brothers or younger sisters or younger brothers, older sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, 16,000 family members, maybe more. And I would say, as the pandemic surged here and there in the aftermath of all this, the numbers would probably be more believable at about 18, 19, 20. And what did he get thrown out of office for? What was he forced to resign for? It wasn't killing 16-plus thousand people, no. It was for grabbing the wrong titty. Okay? That's what got him booted. Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt Sophie, Uncle Floyd, Cousin Angie. Say he grabbed a titty. What? Oh, he's got to go. He has got to go. And like that, the titty grabbing self, you know, the titty grabbing mass murderer, the nipple ring wearing mass murderer and titty grabber was out the door. Now, I want to go back to that phrase. Do I have time? I got about 12 minutes. Let's see if I can wrap this up. The lawsuit says he alleges he was unlawfully fired. He was unlawfully fired. That he didn't do anything wrong to merit being fired. And he says that they fired him based on false claims that he violated CNN standards and practices in assisting his brother Nipples. So 125 mil is what was like the remainder of his contract and some personal damages. So here's what the guy does. Give him credit, kind of. Because he's stupid. He's not really a smart guy, but he is kind of cagey. Here's what he did. In order to prove that he did not violate CNN's standards and practices and therefore was unlawfully terminated, he pretty much comes out and says that that would be impossible to do because CNN has no professional ethics. And to make his case, he says, hey, everybody was doing it, including the people in charge. And then he lists them. Jake Tapper. Not difficult to read between the lines there. Cuomo is really ticked at Tapper because Tapper, you know, was one of the first guys to beat him up as soon as he started coming under fire. But he feels that Tapper unfairly damaged his reputation because of all this and is a hypocrite. And here's why. In September 2020, Tapper was in communication with a congressional candidate by the name of Sean Parnell. And he kept telling Parnell not to run against Representative Connor Lamb, but to run in a safer, more heavily Republican district. So he was trying to influence CNN newsman, anchorman. Trying to influence an election. He talked to him on the phone about it. He texted him about it. He Twittered about it. And Fox News got a hold of one of the Twitters. And that's how this whole thing broke. CNN didn't even conduct an inquiry, let alone disciplinary measures. They didn't even look at it. Don Lemon, the creep, working hard behind the scenes to help Jussie Smollett. Jussie got free. They let Jussie out pending his appeal. You think he's going to go back inside a jail cell? You do? Oh, okay. Well, maybe. So Don Lemon is working with Jussie Smollett when this whole thing was coming out, and actually clued Smollett into the fact that the police didn't believe his story. Actively shaping a narrative, aiding and abetting a criminal. CNN did nothing. You guys remember Jeffrey Toobin? Toobin, that's a funny name because he was a guy that was punching the clown. They were in a Zoom meeting, okay? Jeffrey Toobin is their senior legal analyst. And back during the pandemic, that's what everybody did. We were all Zooming around. So they're in the middle of a Zoom meeting, and he's masturbating on a video call with colleagues. Yes, that kind of masturbating, right, on a Zoom call. Then he talks about Zucker and this woman named, what's her name? Jeff Zucker, Allison Gollust. It's one of those things, all right? They worked together. He was married. She was the assistant. Then she really started helping him. And his marriage went to crap, which is usually what happens when somebody starts helping you. And so then they started hooking up, and he paved the way for her to be where she is. So, anyway, so he puts all this out in his lawsuit. He names the names. He says what they did. And all this stuff's open source because, it all happened. Breitbart was calling on this. Nolte, as a matter of fact, the guy that I'm reading from here, John Nolte, was talking about this real time when it was happening. Nobody else was. And again, this ties in with what I've said so many other times. Everything that we can infer based on our analysis at looking at what's going on has come out to be true. Everything that they've said was never true was true. Or everything they said was true wasn't. PP dossier, it's true. No, it's not true. The Hunter Biden laptop, Russian misinformation, it's not true. No, that's true. It's true. Hillary Clinton being bought off with the Clinton Global Initiative during the time she was at the State Department? No. Hillary Clinton, what are you, crazy? Hillary Clinton would never do anything like that. She's good. No. Yeah, it was true. And Cuomo was there. He was boots on the ground. Fredo was ground zero. And he turns on the family. And you know what? I believe every word of it. In one neat package, instead of episodically over a sporadic period of time, we see the names, the bright stars, the heads of CNN, all being ethically compromised, all guilty, every single one of them, all corrupt, all tarnished, all of them hacks, all of them liars. Cuomo's no hero here. You know, he did his own ethics things that he got caught up in beyond helping his brothers. That fake video where he was supposed to be in the basement in quarantine, that was all a joke. Nobody said anything about that. And that's okay. It had to happen at some point. Bad people turning on other bad people. Exposing, humiliating, tattling on them. Do you think it's going to stop at CNN? Once this kind of stuff starts, it has a tendency to go on. So they have to treat it like a cancer. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at CNN. They have new owners. And I think, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. So we'll just have to see what goes on with that. Well, we're down to about 3.5 minutes, and quite honestly, I think you guys have gotten your money's worth out of us tonight. Thanks once again to my good friend Gary Benford for being on the program with me. That was so fantastic. And check him out, United Patriots Uprising. Terrific guy, terrific show, top shelf guests every single solitary week. He's awesome. We're here Tuesday, Thursday, 7 p.m. here and there, in and out. I'll always give you a heads up to let you know we're here. But when we are here, it's Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wednesdays, Kevin White and United Allegiance Program. Fantastic stuff, man. Kevin's in Ohio. Mark's in Florida. I'm here in West Virginia. Gary's in New York. Don, you and Adonna Fiducia are in just outside of Atlanta in Georgia. Rocky Stucci, Ron Phillips out in Texas. I mean, yeah, it's just all over the country. A ragtag bag of misfits leading the way. Holding up the truth and calling bullshit where it stands. And, you know, really, if you can just have the stones to be just a little teeny weeny bit intellectually honest, you can see it everywhere you look, man. Everywhere. In your schools, mother of pearl. In your county commissions, in your city councils, all around. Then you got to call it, and that's what we got to do. Tell them we're going to win. Thanks so much for allowing me the opportunity of being with you talking about this stuff. And once again, thanks, Gary Benford. I know you guys enjoyed that. Not nearly as much as I did, but I hope you did. Thank you, Penelope. That's all the time we've got for right now. Thanks again for letting me hang out and talk with you about stuff. We'll be back here Tuesdays and Sunday, 4 p.m. on Mojo 5.0. It's a recorded version. You can catch that every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, mojo50.com. God bless you. God bless America. And we'll see you next time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. You guys take good care.